your ex-husband, Kim.
Huh? Hi, Barbie. Long time no see. Ex-wives, huh? One minute they're frigid bitches who can't cook too good either. The next, they go off to New York and paint dumb things on their faces in a desperate attempt to seem interesting.
Is that true? Are you secretly a really boring person?
Hey, that's not the half of it. She's hanging around with degenerate weirdos and probably cracking up into the bargain.
Oh, this isn't working. I don't go for a walk.
And she succumbs to sleep. Barbie dreams, her hands and arms outstretched in front of her. She's pushing her way through grey gauze curtains. All she can see beyond the curtains is more curtains.
A world of curtains. I have been here before. I push my way through. Distantly feel them rend and tear. I feel as if I'm falling. But I am not falling. I'm walking. This is good. I needed to go for a walk. I can stop worrying.
Barbie is wearing the outfit she always wears in dreams. A princess party dress, tight-waisted and long with puff sleeves. Through the last few curtains, she begins to see shadowy figures and shapes on their far side.
Everything's just fine.
Barbie parts the last curtain. On its far side, on a snowy cliff edge in cold daylight, stands Wilkinson the Rat, fedora on his head, hands stuffed deep into the pockets of his trench coat. He looks thoroughly fed up with everything.
Oh, it's you. Well, you took your time, didn't you?
Midnight in the waking world. George waits patiently, leaning out of his open top-floor window in the old apartment block. His blank glasses reflect the quiet street. On the floor below, Hazel and Foxglove are in bed. Foxglove, her advances rebuffed, has cheerfully rolled over and is already snoring gently. Hazel is reading herself to sleep with Raymond Chandler's The Long Goodbye.
75, 76.
Each night before bed, in her tasteful little room, Thessaly brushes her hair 100 times in front of the mirror. She's wearing a bathrobe over a nightgown that goes up to her neck.
84.
She counts each brush stroke. Wanda surfaces to the low buzz of television voices in the next apartment.
Hmm? Oh, Barbie. Thin goddamn walls.
And then the warm darkness takes her. And Barbie? Having fallen asleep, sitting up in bed, her room illuminated by the flickering TV set, Barbie dreams. 1 o'clock. George looks out of his open window. He has been waiting patiently for this moment.
All asleep. They're all asleep.
He starts unbuttoning his shirt. To the others in the building, George is just the nerdy little guy with thick glasses who lives upstairs.
All asleep. They're all asleep. Everybody is all asleep.
His shirt is open. His thin torso is unremarkable. He picks up a box cutter knife.
Men's asleep, ladies asleep, everybody's is all asleep.
He slices down his chest with the blade. The incision starts high at the top of the rib cage. He cuts hard and deep, but there is no blood.
Everybody but me's asleep.
He pushes his hands into the opening he has made and pulls outwards, ripping apart the flesh.
Everybody but us.
His exposed rib cage, is a pristine white and completely empty of organs or tissue of any kind. Instead, the beaks of four birds poke out through the ribs. George looks down at them and smiles.
It's time to fly, my brothers, fly.
The birds flutter out of him, small black shapes that disappear into the shadows. George slumps to the floor, propped up against the wall like a dummy, his face blank, his shirt still open. His chest is completely normal. There is no wound. No ribs are visible. No life. He's like a shell, an empty thing. Wanda's room is sparsely furnished. Over her bed is a small photo of a man, a woman, and a child. It looks like a typical Midwestern farming family. Wanda dreams. In her dream, Wanda, wearing a cocktail dress, is in a department store. She is talking to a saleswoman.
Do you have any nice dresses?
We have lots of nice dresses. I will give you all the nice dresses you want.
Will I have to pay for them?
You will not have to pay for them.
A group of boys are standing behind Wanda, looking at her.
We were in school with you, Wanda.
We are so envious.
Because I do not bear a grudge, I will give all of you nice dresses as well.
Wanda sleeps on, unaware that one of the cuckoos from George's chest is perched on her shoulder. It stares down into her sleeping face. She does not wake. She is still in her department store dream. A woman approaches Wanda, lurching out of the shadows. Her hair is black, her face dead white, crystalline in structure. She wears a green dress and a crude medallion which reads, Weirdo Lila, number one. She's smiling.
Alvin? It am me, Weirdo Lila.
My name is Wanda.
You am? That am wonderful news. Us must tell Weirdo number one.
Come back. It is wonderful news.
The dream is turning into a nightmare. In the Weirdo universe, up is down and good is bad. Now Wanda is tumbling into one of the comics she used to read. In all its madness.
Far out in space exists an amazing marvel of the cosmos, a cube-shaped world. It is the home planet of the Weirdos, a bizarre reflection of our world and everyone on it.
Sun is rising. Am time for bed.
Children, you must play with your food.
The Weirdo Code is crazy, but simple.
Us do opposite of earthly thing.
Us hate beauty. Us love ugliness.
It is a big crime to make anything perfect on Weirdo World.
Welcome to Weirdo World!
Dreaming of a childhood comic brought to life, Wanda is in a Weirdo World hospital with Weirdo orderlies, doctors and nurses lurching around like crystalline-faced zombies.
Oops, I dropped sterile tray.
Good work. Drop it again. Scalpel's still too clean.
Oh my God.
To her horror, Wanda is wearing a surgical gown, waiting in a prep room for some kind of procedure. She has no idea what it could be, but in Weirdo World, a hospital is probably not a place one comes to be made better.
No. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yes, that am terrible news.
Wait, what? Oh, no, 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 no. I'm fine. I'm fine.
The doctor has flown in like Hyperman would if he was saving Lila Lake from a mugger. But this isn't Hyperman. Sure, he wears the cape and jumpsuit with the letter H on his chest, but a large medallion labels him as Weirdo number one.
Me am so happy.
I'm fine. Everything's perfect.
Us must operate immediately to make you imperfect.
You leave me alone, pal.
Hospitals frighten Wanda. People die in hospitals. Anesthetics frighten Wanda. People die under anesthetic. Doctors and surgery and scalpels and stitches frighten Wanda. God damn it, taking aspirin frightens Wanda. And that's in the waking world.
I'm leaving.
Doctors! Nurses!
No! Please! I'm scared of surgery! Please!
Innocence am no excuse. Him will thank us one day. Okay, make him ready for surgery.
I'm Wanda! I'm Wanda, you weirdo!
Wanda is tied to a hospital gurney, held down with leather straps. The trolley is being pushed by weirdo orderlies.
For God's sake, you can't do this to me! I'm scared of surgery. I won't do it. I won't do it.
Listen, him be so happy us going to operate.
It am so good. Maybe him give us presents after.
I'm a woman. My name's Wanda.
Whoever you am, we make it better.
No, you morons. No.
Wanda cries in her sleep. Mascara running down her cheeks. The bird is still perched on her shoulder, peering intently at her face. Upstairs, in Hazel and Foxglove's mezzanine bedroom, Hazel has fallen asleep while reading. Hazel dreams.
I'm on a train journey across a country I don't know. I don't know if I speak the language or not. I don't know if I have a ticket.
Sorry, ma'am. That ticket is valid on the express. You'll have to leave the train. This way, please.
A ticket inspector tells me that there is something wrong with my ticket. I have to go with him.
Down these steps, into the cellar, please.
I didn't know that there were steps on trains.
There are cellars under all trains in this country. You have to go down.
Hazel descends into the train cellar. At the bottom of the steps is a wooden box, like a pirate treasure chest, on the mud floor.
The present I won with my ticket is in the box. I go to open it.
Hazel is lifting a baby out of the box. The baby has a green-yellow tinge to it with a large incision running from the base of its stomach all the way up to the side of its neck, which has been stitched back together. It's dead. The mouth is open. The eyes are staring blankly.
The baby smells of formaldehyde. Not unpleasantly. It is cold and clammy to the touch. The autopsy scar is sewn together with black silk thread. It has been dead exactly 70 years. It is perfectly preserved.
Hazel holds the baby in one arm, up against her chest and shoulder. Its head lolls. She walks to a door and opens it. Behind her is the cellar. Through the door is the room she shares with Foxglove. Foxglove is waiting for her, holding a sweet little blonde baby.
Fox is waiting for me, with her baby. I cannot remember her baby's name. I cannot remember how old it is. It's a boy, though. I remember that. My baby is cold, so we put them together in a crib to warm it up. We love our babies.
The two mothers stand beside the crib, looking down at the babies. One alive and cute, one dead and disgusting. The dead baby pushes itself up on one arm, leaning over the living one. Its eyes are wide and staring, a little zombie baby.
My baby begins to move. I am unspeakably proud of it. Now it smells of roses.
The dead baby's mouth opens improbably wide. It is filled with tiny, needle-sharp teeth.
No. I know what it's gonna do. I wanna hide. I wanna turn away. I want to stop looking. I can't.
No. No! No! No!
I hear Fox keening for her son. I cannot move. And I know, once it's finished with Fox's child...
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Then it will come for us. Stop. Stop.
In their bed, in the real world, Hazel is asleep, her face screwed into an expression of agony and pain. A cuckoo is perched beside her, its wings spread, reveling in her nightmare.
Oh,
Beside her, Foxglove also sleeps. Foxglove has a cuckoo of her own. It sits on her shoulder. She rolls over, and the bird is gone, lost in the shadows.
Donna? Donna Kavanagh.
Foxglove sits up in bed, half asleep, still dreaming. She tries to focus on the figure standing at the foot of the bed in the dark and shadowy room.
Go away. Leave me alone.
Donna.
It's Foxglove now. That's what I'm called. I haven't been Donna for 2 years. More, maybe. Donna's somebody else. Donna's dead.
Donna.
Don't call me that! Who's talking anyway? Who is that?
It's me. Judy.
Judy?
Judy Talbot hasn't changed since the morning Foxglove walked out on her for the last time. She still wears the leather biker jacket covered in badges, but her eyes are hidden in shadow.
You can't be Judy. You're dead.
Yeah. Dead as a dodo. It's a real shit, isn't it? And it's your fault, you know that.
Mine?
Sure it is. If you hadn't taken off, I wouldn't have been hanging around in that damn diner. And I'd still be able to taste and feel and dream.
Judy moves closer, hunkers down next to the bed.
So, you with anyone these days?
Yes.
Yeah? What's her name?
Hazel.
She as pretty as me. Is she? Does she make you feel like I made you feel?
No. No, she's not. But she's never hit me. Are you a ghost?
Something like that. A ghost or a dream? I don't know. Does it matter? Donna.
Yeah. Yes.
I just want us to be together again. For always. I want it to be just like it was. Hold on, I've got something in my eye.
Foxglove realizes Judy's eyes have not been hidden in shadow since she first appeared. They simply aren't there. She watches Judy absent-mindedly push her forefinger into an empty eye socket. Alone, apart from the sleeping Hazel, Foxglove sleeps on, her back against the wall, her mouth open, drooling. There is no one else in the room, save the two cuckoos perched on their shoulders. Foxglove's bird leans in to look at her face. It has a sharp beak. Thessaly sleeps on the bed in her tastefully decorated room. Her hairbrush and glasses are on a small night table. Her curtains are open, and the room is part illuminated by the sodium yellow street lighting outside. A cuckoo flies through the wall above her head and settles on her shoulder. It leans in towards her sleeping face. Thessaly opens her eyes. She sees the bird looking down at her, its sharp beak an inch from her eye.
No, you don't.
In one swift move, she grabs the bird.
Nasty little thing, aren't you?
Sitting up in bed, Thessaly tightly holds the cuckoo in both hands. She looks at it, inspects it. Then she swings it upwards, over her head, slamming it into the wall. The bird, its life dashed out against the now blood and feather spattered wall, lies limp in her hand.
There.
Thessaly holds the little corpse out in front of her, frowning in concentration. The bird bursts into flame. A bright light, like burning magnesium, illuminates Thessaly's face from below, casting a shadow behind her, across the walls and ceiling.
Oof!
George, upstairs in his apartment, suddenly recoils and falls as if punched. He slowly gets up from the floor. A thin trickle of blood comes from the corner of his mouth. His expression is one of surprise. Thessaly puts on her glasses, gets out of bed, and puts on a bathrobe.
Need light.
Rummaging briefly in a drawer by the door to her apartment, she finds what she is looking for. Thessaly, wearing a pair of fluffy bunny slippers, climbs to the landing above, passing Hazel and Foxglove's room. She then takes the next flight up to George's apartment. It's a dingy, unpleasant stairwell, and the landing is dirty and damp.
Who is it? Hello? Yes?
Hello. It's George, isn't it? I mean, we've said hi, but we've never really been introduced.
Thessaly smiles nervously at George through the crack in the door. She has a nice smile.
I'm Thessaly, from downstairs.
Uh-huh.
Can I come in?
I guess.
George opens the door wide, and Thessaly enters his apartment. He sees a nice, sweet young woman in a nightdress, bathrobe, and bunny slippers. He does not see that, hidden behind her back, she holds a long, sharp, bone-handled knife. Barbie's dream, the land. Wilkinson the rat, Luz the dodo, and Pranado the monkey arranged gloomily around the last embers of a fire outside their cave.
So, do you remember us?
I don't know. Sort of.
Barbie sits in her princess party dress, the glittering porpentine hanging from her neck. Behind her, icy peaks stretch away to the horizon.
I mean, it's coming back to me, sort of, but...
Yeah, well, I'm Wilkinson, the lady's Luz, and the gentleman in the hat is Pranado.
Thanks. I'm Barbie.
Princess Barbara, the heir to the land.
And his destined saviour, Luz. You mustn't forget that.
Oh, yeah, right, great. You're going to save the land. You're going to defeat the Blackguard and the Cuckoo, all right. And you don't even know where you are. Well, at least Martin Tenbones knows what he's doing.
Oh.
And come to that, where is the great airy wuss's name? I thought he'd be coming back with you.
He's dead.
Oh. Huh. I see.
Then we are lost. The Cuckoo has won.
Don't say that, Luz.
No, she's right. What good am I going to be?
Shut up! For the grace of Murphy, she's the princess, isn't she? Well, isn't she? And she's got the porpentine, and the hierogram is still unbroken.
But...
Martin Tenbones was my best friend. Even if this whole thing's going down in flames, I'm damned if we're all going to give up. Do you think he'd have wanted us to give up now? Well, do you?
I don't know. This place I had to get to, this... brightly shining sea. Is it a long way away?
Too far. We need to cross this mountain range to avoid the Black Guard. And between us and the sea is the Citadel of the Cuckoo. It's a very long way.
I see. Well then,
we'd better get going.
AM, New York. Up in their little curtained-off mezzanine bedroom, Hazel, sleeping, rolls over in bed. Next to her, Foxglove sits up, pressed against the wall, also fast asleep. Foxglove is dreaming of an old lover. Hazel is dreaming of dead babies. Hovering above each of the women is a ghost cuckoo, a semi-transparent bird.
Leave me alone, Judy. By the goddess, just leave me.
And just like that, the birds vanish. Whatever called them into existence in this place has itself ceased to exist. And with them vanish the nightmares.
No!
Leave me alone! Hazel? Is that you?
I think I had a bad dream, some kind of nightmare. Shit.
Yeah, I think I was having a dream too. A really bad one. There was this somebody I used to know. It was like it was really happening.
God, my heart's still thumping. Feels like it's gonna burst out of my chest. I can't believe that it was only a dream. It was horrible.
What was it about?
I don't remember.
I feel sick. I'm gonna get a drink of water.
No! Look, please don't go. Hold me, please. Fox, you're shaking.
We're both shaking.
I'm scared. Isn't that dumb? I don't dare go back to sleep.
I'm scared too, Hazel. But it's okay. The bad dreams are all over. Look! There! Nothing's going to hurt us now. Everything's all right.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 14, A Game of You, Bad Moon Rising.
Foxglove, a ratty old bathrobe wrapped around her, descends the ladder from the sleeping level to the living room of their apartment. Hazel occupies an armchair.
You know the really scary thing about bad dreams?
The fact you think it's really happening?
Not that. It's like something's happening in your head and you can't control it. I mean, it's like there's these bad worlds inside you, but it's just you. It's like you're betraying yourself.
Shit!
Hello? Foxglove? Hazel? Hello?
I'll get it.
Is anybody there?
Hello? It's me, Thessaly. I think your doorbell stopped working.
Thessaly's wearing a bathrobe over her buttoned-up Victorian nightdress and pink fluffy bunny slippers on her feet. She looks intently at Foxglove through her big glasses.
I came down to see if you two were okay.
Sure. We're fine. Why shouldn't we be fine?
Mm-hmm. Thanks for, stopping by.
No bad dreams?
Oh.
Foxglove and Hazel exchange a worried glance.
Yes. Bad dreams. I thought so. Look, I'm going down to check that Wanda and Barbie are okay. Maybe one of you ought to come with me.
Okay.
We'll both go. I don't want to be... to leave Fox on her own.
Thessaly, what's going on here?
Just stuff.
Stuff?
Mm-hmm. Wanda? Hello?
Hi.
Wanda's wearing a pair of panties and a light t-shirt. It's clear she has been crying. There's mascara all over her face.
Jesus Christ, guys. Do you know what time it is?
It's a little after 2.
It was a rhetorical...
Wanda?
Oh, Jesus, I had such a horrible dream.
Her too.
Whatever it was, it's over now, Wanda. Listen, Barbie's the one I'm really worried about.
Barbie's in trouble? Barbie! Barbie! Honey! Are you all right? It's me! Barbie? Barbie once gave me a spare set of her keys. She was worried she'd lose hers. I mean, I could let us in if you really think there's something wrong.
There's definitely something wrong. You'd better open the door.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
I can hear the TV. She must be in there.
Maybe she's just asleep.
Barbie? Hello? Barbie?
The room is dark, lit by the flickering television. Wanda and Thessaly enter, with Hazel and Foxglove behind.
It's us. Nothing to be scared of.
She can't hear you, Wanda. Foxglove, you're nearest the light switch. Turn it on, please.
Her long white t-shirt, like a shift, her hair spread out over the pillow, Barbie lies asleep on her bed, like the Sleeping Beauty. In her hands is the Porpentine. The silver and quartz piece of jewelry on its chain. It glows, bathing the sleeping girl with a soft pink light.
Just look at her. What is this pendant thing?
Whatever it is, don't any of you touch it or take it away from her. Right now, I'd suspect it's all that's keeping her alive. Wanda, can you carry her upstairs? And carefully.
Well, I...
You can put her down in George's room. The door's open. You can go straight in. I'll see you all up there. There's stuff I need to get from my room first.
Is she for real?
Thessaly? I suppose so. I always thought she was really dull. You know, like a bimbo, but with brains instead of looks. Probably studying modern architecture or something.
Art history.
What?
We were talking at the laundromat a few weeks back. She said she's studying art history.
What about Barbie?
Maybe we should call a doctor.
Wanda, we were having bad dreams too. Thessaly seemed to know something about it, and she knew something weird was happening with Bobby.
George's room, huh? I think he's a creep. He stares at me.
Come on, Sleeping Beauty. You come, Missy. Got her.
This is turning into a really weird evening. You know that?
Whatever. It doesn't need a running commentary.
Okay, we're here.
Well, the door's open. Hey, George! Wherever you are, it's only us!
George's apartment is sparsely furnished. A door leads to the bathroom. There's a down-at-heel sofa. And on the wall, a blown-up photo of a carefree Barbie walking down the street, lost in her own world.
Gee, I said he was creepy, didn't I? Didn't I say he was creepy? Look at this. It's a photo of Barbie. I mean, it's Barbie. That's creepy.
Good, you made it.
Thessaly is carrying a silver bowl, which contains what appear to be tools and a handful of nails.
You'd better lie her down on the couch, I suppose.
There you go, Barb.
Thessaly, what's going on here? This is all so weird. I think you really owe us some kind of explanation.
You do.
Me too.
And where's our host? Where's George?
He's in the bathtub.
George is taking a bath? Jesus H. Christ on a bicycle, Thessaly.
He isn't taking a bath. He's in the bathtub. It seemed the best place to put him. I killed him. He's dead.
You're joking, right? You haven't really killed anyone.
I'm not very good at making jokes, Hazel. Go and look. He's in the bathroom.
Oh my God!
Move over. I can't see. Ew!
Oh, gross.
George, the insignificant little guy with thick glasses, lies dead in the bath, a knife plunged into his chest. Thessaly enters, holding the silver bowl and its contents.
I really don't know what's happening here, Thessaly, but I'm going to call the police and a doctor for Barbie.
No way. I'm sorry, guys. You aren't going to call anyone. You mustn't.
No. Fox is... She's right, Thess. I mean, sure. George was a creep. But you can't... you can't just go around killing people. I don't like the cops either, but we have to call them.
I'm really sorry. I don't think I'm explaining things very well. Let me try this again. You aren't going anywhere. You aren't calling anyone. None of you can leave this room unless I want you to. You can try it if you like. As for the rest of what's going on here, well, I don't understand it all yet either. George has a lot of explaining to do.
You kill first, then ask questions after? Yeah, real bright sugar. Now, read my lips. I'm leaving. Don't try to stop me.
Go ahead.
Right. I can't.
Sorry about that, Wanda. But I honestly don't mean you any harm. I may even need your help. Hazel, I need to kneel where you are. Put this bowl down.
You're a murderer. You killed him!
Sure. I told you that already.
What have you got in the bowl?
A hammer, a box cutter knife, and some 3-inch nails.
Are you gonna kill us too?
Of course not. Why would I want to do that?
So, Thessaly, do you want to tell us what's going on?
I don't know. Not really. George was sending birds around the house. But not real birds, more like... projections of some kind. Malevolent little things. They were giving you the bad dreams.
And the box cutter will help. How?
Barbie is tied into all this somehow. I'm not sure how, but I'll find out. You see, I have really bad feelings about all this.
You have really bad feelings?
So, how are you going to find out?
I'm going to ask George.
You really weren't joking then?
Like I said, I don't make jokes. I just never got the knack. There's stuff I have to do now. You can't leave the apartment, but you can make yourselves comfortable in the living room. You may not want to see this.
Yeah.
Good call.
Okay.
Now then, George.
With one hand, Thessaly holds George's hair, pulling his head up. With the other hand, she removes his glasses. His face is white and dead. The eyes are half open. It has been many years, but her hands remember. They touch the skin and know the flesh beneath the skin, remember other faces. The ears are important, that it can hear.
What's she doing in there?
I'm not sure.
She makes the initial incision behind the left ear. A push, and the blade pierces the skin. A further push, and she's slicing through the meat.
You're not sure? You mean you know?
I don't think I want to know.
She slides it at an angle. The blade touches bone, and she lifts as she cuts. Less blood flows than she had feared. Already it is pooling in the torso and legs.
Why can't we leave the room?
Hypnotism, maybe?
Witchcraft.
She slices across the hairline, careful not to rip, to tear, cutting with one hand as she pulls gently with the other, aided by her blade. The flesh seems all too eager to part from the bone.
Steady.
Perhaps she takes pride in her competence. Perhaps not.
Nearly.
She pockets the eyes last, almost as an afterthought.
Magic? You mean like New Age stuff?
New Age? No.
Jeez.
What the? Oh my God.
Thessaly stands in the doorway to the bathroom, blood on her arms and dressing gown. She holds George's face out in front of her. It's a sagging mask of flesh and muscle. The eye holes are empty, the nose misshapen, the lips hanging open. She bends to pick up the hammer and three nails.
Quite the opposite, really.
Thessaly holds the face up against the wall and, with the hammer, hangs it up by hammering the nails into its forehead. A little blood runs down the wall.
Oh, God. I think I'm gonna be sick.
Ears to hear. Now eyes to see. Left eye. Right eye.
If you feel like you're going to vomit, you should pinch your upper lip really hard.
Give me a break.
And last of all, a tongue to speak with.
In the bathroom, George's skinned face stares up from the corpse, an eyeless mess of muscle and bone.
Come here, George. Open wide.
Thessaly leans forward, as if to kiss it. But she pushes open the jaws with her mouth. Using her teeth, she pulls out George's tongue by the roots.
Holy shit.
How did you... Never mind.
We put the tongue in the mouth, so.
George's face hangs on the wall, its eyes with nails through their pupils. With her fingers, Thessaly places the tongue so that it lolls from the gaping mouth. Blood trickles down the wall underneath.
There. Okay, George. I want a word with you, young man.
The face stares out grotesquely.
George, time to come back.
A flicker of something illuminates the nailed-in eyes. The face is still lifeless and drooping, but now the toothless mouth is moving and the tongue within is writhing, alive, as if, given the chance, it would crawl out of the mouth, away down the wall, and off to safety.
Who calls me? Who dares call me back from the high shore of the Silent River?
Oh my God.
If you're going to puke, for Christ's sakes, use the bathroom.
Are you kidding? With that thing in the bath?
Shh! I dare. Here do I charge you and command you in all things to speak the truth, holding back nothing. Else I shall summon the hounds of hell to whip your shade through the world until the moon falls to earth and the sun grows cold.
Oh, for fuck!
I pray you, tell me now and tell me truly, who were you and why did you attempt to harm me and the others here in this place this night?
I was Wasegorg, a servant of the cuckoo. The cuckoo set me here. It came to me night after night in my dreams. It showed me the woman, Princess Barbara. She was promised to me. The cuckoo promised me many things. Many wonderful things. It sent me my brothers and sisters.
The birds?
Yes. For the first time, I was not alone. They lived inside me. Even in the dark, they whispered to me, comforted me, loved me.
So what were you trying to do here tonight?
The cuckoo was to consume each of you. It needed someone else to
destroy the bauble. The woman's bauble. The cuckoo must reign forever.
Come on, Wonder Woman. Wake up. Wake the thug up.
What is the cuckoo?
I do not know. It is the cuckoo.
Where could I find the cuckoo?
In its realm. In the dream.
Wake up. Pinch yourself. Ow!
Barbie's dream.
Yes.
I see. That's all for now.
Do you? Then dismiss me.
I do not. Not yet.
Let me die. Please, just let me die.
Silence from you now, until I bid you speak again.
You okay, Wanda?
Nope.
Well, this is a pretty pickle, I must say.
You know, of all the things I don't believe about this evening, I don't believe you said that the most. A pretty pickle? What the hell is that supposed to mean? You're like cutting off faces and killing people and...
What's been happening tonight? It's witchcraft, isn't it?
Yes.
I did some witchy stuff for a bit. I mean, not like that. Nothing ever actually happened. And like nothing with dead bodies or stuff like that.
Huh?
That was before I met you, Hayes.
I don't understand this. I don't understand tonight.
No? Okay. A couple of hours ago, George's boss, the cuckoo, attempted to assume control of our dreams. It was going to use us as its hands.
Why?
To destroy that piece of jewelry. I assume it planned to hurt Barbie.
Why? I mean, if it needed this shit done, why couldn't George have done it?
I don't know. I don't think he could.
So what exactly is that thing?
I'm not totally sure. I haven't seen anything like it for a very long time. If it's like the one I remember, it's some kind of dreamstone.
Listen, I'm not sure I'm really following all this, but this thing, this cuckoo, it's trying to hurt Barbie?
Yes.
Then we've got to do something to try and stop it. We have to help Barbie.
Help her? Well, yes, that as well. More importantly, this cuckoo tried to harm me. I really don't take things like that lightly. It's not going to be easy. You really want to help?
Yes!
Sure.
Okay.
Right. I'll need some menstrual blood. Foxglove?
Huh? Why me?
Because you're menstruating. I can feel it. No one else here is. Hazel's pregnant, Wanda doesn't, and I haven't menstruated for a long time. Wanda, hand me that silver bowl.
What? Hang on. Hazel's not pregnant.
We can talk about this later.
Hazel?
Please, Fox, not now.
Here's the bowl.
It's not a very heavy flow. There won't be very much.
A few drops of Moon's blood will be fine. You see, there are two ways to go into another's dreams. We can go in through the Dream King, or we can go by the Moon's Road. But the Dream King has little time for women, and even less for my kind. While the Moon is ever ours, it's time to draw down the Moon.
Okay, that was easier than I thought.
Switch off the light, please, Hazel.
With the lights off, the Moon, which is full, shines brightly into George's living room.
Open the window, please, Wanda.
The night breeze blows the rather grubby, flimsy curtains as Thessaly sits cross-legged on the floor, the bowl in front of her.
We did this, or something like this. We had water and salt, not blood, and white candles.
Behind them, a sleeping beauty on the sofa. Barbie holds the softly glowing porpentine in her hands.
We invoked the goddess in her aspect as the moon. We called down her power.
Did she answer you?
Well, it felt good at the time. Empowering.
You two, Foxglove, you go opposite me. Hazel, on my side. Wanda, you need to stay with Barbie.
But
Wanda, she's in danger.
Yeah, but... Oh, whatever.
Gorgo, Mormo, Ereskigal, three-face woman. I fetch you, tie you, bind you. There are none left to save you in this old world. None to beat cymbals and distract you with sharp cries. We have walked together in the past, you and I. I have bound you as a hare. I have bound you in your house in the heavens. I call you down to me.
Thessaly reaches into the bowl with her finger, touching it to the blood. She lifts it, and a drop beads down from the finger, pregnant under its own weight.
We are old friends, you and I. She who dies and lives and never dies. Be here for me.
The moonlight in the room, reflected off the silver bowl, swells into a blinding whiteness all around them. It forms faces made of light, one on each side, one in the middle. They are female, but formed of pure moonlight, too bright to see properly. They speak.
You should be dead, Thessalian.
What would you with us, daughter? We have not been drawn down for thousands of revolutions.
Do you know what you are doing? Do you know what you have done?
I know exactly what I've done and why I called you. I want you to do something for me.
You need something from me. What have you given me?
What have you done for me?
Why should I do anything for you?
You will do exactly as I request. Just as I pulled you down from the heavens, you are mine to dispose of, mine to command.
Perhaps. Where others ask timorously, Thessalian, your kind commanded, directed, ordered. It galls us.
But the others are dust now, less than dust. And one day you, in your turn, will join them. And then our compact will be over. And you will be ours, as they are.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Now, let's talk about what I need from you. One that has hurt me hides in that child's dream. She lies with a dream stone on her breast. These women are her friends. Send us to her.
The realm of dreams is not our realm. Why should we meddle in the affairs of the Dream King, child?
Because you can.
Because I order you to.
You have disrupted the order of things enough this night, Thessalian.
One day, there will be a reckoning.
So you have said before. You and others like you. Well?
We will accede to your plea.
We have little alternative.
But we can wait. Our night will come.
Outside on the street, it's 3 a.m. All is quiet. A lone pedestrian walks home, passing Maisie Hill, the homeless woman who hustles for money on the subway.
Hey! Hey, you!
You talking to me, lady?
Look at the moon! She looks strange tonight.
Yeah? Well, listen, this is New York. Between the stuff in the air and the street lights, you're lucky to be able to see the moon at all.
No. Look. It's gone. It was there. You don't understand. Moon's gone pale as paint. Look at her.
So, it's an eclipse or something. Happens all the time.
No. This was sudden. Eclipses are slow. This, something bad. And there's a wind rising.
Yeah, that's for sure. It'll soon be raining cats and dogs. Well, you take care now.
I don't like dogs.
I can't see a damn thing. It's so bright in here.
Wanda has moved back from the circle. She is standing by the sofa as if to shield the sleeping Barbie from the glaring whiteness in George's living room. Thessaly, Hazel, and Foxglove are still sitting around the silver bowl.
Wanda, you keep Barbie safe now. We'll be back before sunrise, one way or the other. And...
What? Look, Barbie's my friend. I want to help her, but where are you going?
Guard Barbie. Don't let anything happen to her.
On my own? What is this? You're a friggin' lunatic, Thessaly. You know that? What's going on here? Fox! Hazel! They've gone.
The living room is empty. Save for Wanda, standing over Barbie, still asleep on the sofa. The silver bowl is in the middle of the floor, a white vapor rising from it. There is no sign of Thessaly, Hazel, or Foxglove.
I tell them what I see, lady. Nobody here listens to me. First you're there, then you're gone. Now you're there again. You laughing at me, lady? Moon goes away, won't come back. That ain't natural. But he looks up at the sky anymore.
Nobody looks up no more.
Well, it's just you and me, Barbie Bubula. You know something weird? Well, all right, don't talk. I don't mind. I can't handle any of this. But I don't care. I figure, what the hell? It's like we fell down the rabbit hole, woke up in... I don't know, Stephen King's basement. You know what's really spooky? Hazel and Foxglove. I mean, they just fell into it. Like it was all natural as anything. I, on the other hand, squeal and toss my cookies. Cheer up, the cavalry are on their way into your dreams to help you fight a scary number called the Cuckoo, who wants you dead. Unless this is all some paranoid witchy fantasy of Thessaly's, which is as possible as anything else. Whew, the scariest little Miss Goody Two-Shoes I ever met. I kept expecting her to turn into Margaret Hamilton. Bizarre, huh? But, Jesus, we are the good guys. You, and me, and Foxglove, and Hazel, and Thessaly, maybe. I ought to get Fox to write one of her stories about us. The Bimbos of Night. Night of the Bimbos.
Bimbos of the Night. What music they make.
Only joking. Right. I'm guarding you. I hope you appreciate that. It's just you and me, Delink. You, me, and the skin corpse of Mama's boy in the bathtub. I'm not going back in there. I'm warning you. It's going to be... a long night, staring at this hellish face nailed to the wall.
Excuse me, Miss Wanda. Can we talk?
Barbie's dream, the land.
Careful here, there's a narrow...
It is the strange blue-gray light of pre-dawn. On the snow-covered mountain is a winding path down which four tiny black silhouettes carefully pick their way. Wilkinson the rat is in the lead, followed by Barbie, Luz the dodo, and Pranado the monkey.
There's a drop coming up, just a little one.
I think I can see more of the path now.
The sun will be up soon. We should hurry. This is the most risky part of the journey. Risky. Not dangerous. Risky.
There's no cover on the plain. If the black guards spot us, that's it. Nowhere to go, nowhere to run.
They're edging their way down a narrow, rocky path beside a sheer drop, using their hands to steady themselves on the ice-covered mountain wall. Luz flaps her wings to steady herself. Pranado wears his red uniform jacket and pillbox hat. Wilkinson his fedora and trench coat. Luz has her feathers for insulation, but Barbie shivers. She's wearing a thin, unsuitable dress and thin silk slipper shoes. Around her neck, glowing gently, is the pink gemstone called the Porpentine.
If we make it across the plain, there's a forest. It's not a safe place, not by a long shot, but there's plenty of cover, and there's no love lost between the trees and the cuckoo. Not that they're on our side, mind you, although most of the trees are all right. Keep themselves to themselves, unless they're bothered, and only an idiot bothers a tree. Oop, sharp left here, but the path's levelling out a bit.
There are bad things in the forest. Pray we don't meet any tweeners.
Tweeners? But it'll be warmer there. And if we're lucky, there'll be food.
I haven't eaten since I got to the land last night.
Drink a bit more melted snow. Put something in your stomach.
I need real food, Wilkinson. I'm starving. I'm cold.
You could have wrapped up a bit before you came.
But I'm always wearing a pretty party dress when I'm here. It's the kind I always thought princesses would wear when I was little.
Nearly there, nearly on the plain.
Cold. So cold.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 15, A Game of You, Beginning to See the Light. The four travelling companions have descended to level ground. Behind them is the unimaginable vastness of the mountain range. Ahead of them lies the snowy plain and the cold, barren hopelessness of their quest.
Long way to Tipperary, but my heart is there.
Quiet, Wilkinson. You want to tell everyone we're here?
I was singing quietly to keep our spirits up. The wind will carry voices away.
Wilkinson.
Okay, no singing.
There's something over there in the snow, look.
Something to eat with any luck.
I can't see too well.
It's too far away.
Come on, let's check it out. So, Wilkinson, what's on the other side of the forest?
Once past the forest, we're in trouble again. There's people living there. Really, down all the way to the sea.
What kind of people?
Well, just normal people, like me, or you, or Luz here.
Or me.
Or Pranado. They used to be subjects of the Hieromancer, but...
I remember the Hieromancer. I met him when I was here before. He was a sweet old guy. Kind of like my grandfather. What happened to him?
He's dead. Well, I expect that he's dead. If he's lucky, he's dead. Then we come to the Citadel of the Cuckoo. Maybe we can avoid that. Maybe. But it stands right between us and the brightly shining sea.
And if we get that far?
If we get to the sea, there's a causeway that leads to the Isle of Thorns. That's where you've got to get to, with the Porpentine. Because that's where the hierogram is, or so Martin Tenbones maintained. I hope you'll know what to do when we get that far, because none of us have a clue.
Shh, look!
Oh, no.
In front of them lies the corpse of a bearded, fawn-like goblin with pointed ears. The face contorted in an expression of frozen terror. It lies half buried in the snow, ribcage ripped open, arms outstretched. One hand still holds a scroll, which quivers in the icy wind.
Oh, how ghastly. The poor thing.
Murphy protect us. It's the Tantoblin. I knew he was dead. I felt him die.
He was carrying a message for us. He still has it. Look. Oh. Here it is. Do you want to read it now? It may be important.
I remember him.
Martin Tenbones and I were on our way to the Arch of the Porpentine when we were attacked by these white grub things like fat children.
Princess Barbara, climb on my back quickly. These creatures will give no quarter nor ask it if we offer battle.
It's too late, Martin Tenbones. They're all around us.
Princess, help is coming.
What are these things carrying the big box? Baby dinosaurs?
It is the Room Patrol. But we must move fast.
Here, Princess!
We can help you escape!
What's in the box?
We are the Room Patrol!
Oh, that's the room? They were carrying a room around with them. I mean, it wasn't a big room or anything, but it had a door and windows.
Get into the room!
But please, hurry!
So we got into it, and when we got out again, we were somewhere else. Somewhere closer to where we wanted to be. A little glade in a forest where there was a huge table covered with food. This guy was waiting for us. He bowed and kissed my hand.
Brave Princess Barbara, the loyal Martin Tenbones. You're just in time to eat. Join me.
Oh, how wonderful.
I have dreamed of food for many leagues now. I would enjoy breakfast.
Then tuck in, my dear fellow.
He made his breakfast. I liked him.
Aye, that was the Tantoblin right enough. Then, when the cuckoo crushed the rest of the Room Patrol, he became a courier, taking tidings of the resistance to distant parts of the land.
We have to bury him.
But the ground is harder than ice, and we only have our paws.
Then we'll cover him with snow. Make a cairn.
Leave it out, girl. There's more snow on its way, and every second that passes, the cuckoo's forces come closer to finding us.
No! We bury him. We owe him that. I owe him that much.
Yes, Princess, right. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's bury the poor bugger. There. My paws are frozen.
Shouldn't we say a few words?
Yeah, of course.
I only met you once, but you fed me. And you were good to me. And you died in my service, Tantoblin. Be at peace.
Murphy's peace be with you.
Okay, let's go.
It's snowing again.
And getting harder.
Look! Shelter!
Ahead of them, the ground falls away, forming a ridge like a small cliff that juts out, revealing a shallow cave beneath.
Let's get under there until the worst of this is over.
I suppose snow would have buried the Tantoblin anyway.
Sit close by me, Luz.
We would have frozen out there.
Everybody huddle up for warmth.
That's better.
Thank you.
Pernado, let's take a look at the scroll you took from the Tantoblin. It may be important.
Here it is, Princess. Oh, it had pictures rolled up in it.
The pictures are photographs, shots of Barbie's face in her various makeups, red and black flames, or dragons, or fish scales, or fractals.
Princess, is that a picture of you?
Yes, I've been doing a lot of face painting recently. I was going to get a tattoo, but I don't want anything permanent anymore. It's like I can be a different person every day. Where did he get the photos from? This is weird. Maybe the scroll explains what the photos are about. The European cuckoo, Cuculus canorus, winters in the... Huh? What the hell is this?
Read it, my princess. The Tantoblen thought it was important. He gave his life bringing it to us.
Okay. The European cuckoo, Cuculus canorus, winters in the tropics and is an abundant summer visitor to continental Europe and Britain, arriving in early April.
Outside, black against the falling snow on the plain, a row of tall, angular figures is marching towards their shelter. The Black Guard are on the march. They are tall, moving purposefully, inexorably, dressed in beautiful obsidian armor with high collars and ornate helms. Some of them hold tall spears, others carry long weapons with claws on the end, like black iron talons.
When hatched, the young cuckoo, during the first few days of its naked, blind, and apparently helpless existence, throws out the unhatched eggs for fellow nestlings.
The Black Guard's faces are hidden by their helmet visors, except for their glowing red eyes, visible through the slits.
The young cuckoo gets the nest to itself. Apparently, the voice of the young cuckoo has a commanding, almost hypnotic power.
Shh! Quiet! Danger!
They sit in scared silence as the guards march past.
They're so close.
Barbie could reach out and touch the black, glistening armor. But she does not. She has no doubt they are searching for her, and has a brief, mad impulse to scream, to run out, to laugh, to say, "Here we are!" as if it was a game of hide-and-seek. But she sits there, listening to her breathing, listening to her heart thumping in her chest. All the guards would have to do is to bend down, and it would be over.
30 of them. I counted.
Shh! Wait! I think they've gone.
It stopped snowing.
It's getting dark. Come on, then.
Nothing else bad happens crossing the plain. Although when Barbie tries to look at the photos again, she finds that the Polaroids have changed into old playing cards, and the words on the scroll have run together and are blurred and unreadable. That night, they sleep in a ditch, the four of them huddled together for warmth. Afterwards, Barbie does not remember dreaming. The ever-changing castle of Morpheus of the Endless is today a fairy tale confection of turrets and towers. It rests in a mountain landscape, studded with green meadows and waterfalls.
Which of the skerries?
Well, this one, Lord. It's here on the map. Look, you see?
I see, and you are certain this is the same one?
I'm certain, Lord. I found it in the archives. There can be no mistake. I have the compact here for your inspection.
Let me see it.
The Lord of Dreams stands in a